Okay. Well. Today's title is this: The director is the one who directs. And there's really an important concept for us here to grasp. And it's this: God is in control. Nothing about our passage today is about human control. It's all about God's dynamic presence bringing to effect dramatic social and cultural change that is still happening to this day. The director is the one who directs. The early church is birthed from God filling them with his untamable, wild, and powerful presence and guiding them. When the early church got comfortable, God often moved in and kind of shook things up again. When our churches get comfortable and start to try and perhaps restrict the freedom of God to disrupt us and move us on, they often shrink and shrivel, often control. But actually, I think one of the key things that hurts churches to this day is sentimentality. I think sentimentality is a kind of disease for churches. God is the one who directs. The director is the one who leads us. I've got a quotation I want to share with you. It's from a guy called Stephen Ortrog. Let's see if I can find it. We'll bring it up. Here we go. Okay, let me say this. If we want our churches to thrive and devotional lives to flourish, we must absolutely let God be God. We must not settle for warm, fuzzy, feel-good movie of the year versions of God. We cannot settle for a God who exists only to meet our needs and make us happy. We cannot settle for a God who is boring and irrelevant. We cannot settle for a God of our own imagination. We must know the fierce, untamable God. It goes on. We must let God out of the boxes which we have created. We must come face to face with God as he really is, with all these sharp edges and blazing glory and heart-rending beauty. We must encounter the God who makes mountains melt like wax and the angels cover their eyes and the rivers leap for joy. If we are going to love God with all of our heart and soul, mind and strength, we must truly know God. We must know him as he truly is, not as we imagine him to be. We must come to grips with the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. Let me stop the sharing. This passage tells us that God is in control. We have a group of people who are eagerly waiting for God to clothe them in power and take control. And I want to say this: God reserves the right to disrupt your life and to disrupt my life. We serve, if you like, the disruptive God who often calls us to move on, to sell up, to transform, to change, to risk it all. I heard a quotation recently, I really like it. The kingdom grows through influential nobodies. It's a call, if you like, to leave our egos and, if you like, our logos behind in pursuit of the kingdom of God. In our story, 50 days after Jesus' death at Passover, we have Pentecost. Jesus was killed at Passover and was resurrected on the festival of first fruits. It seems that God was deliberately using if you like, the prophetic timings of Israel's story by which to write a brand new story, a brand new covenant with his creation. It should come as no surprise that God uses another major moment in a Jewish calendar to write the next chapter of this new covenant. Pentecost marks two significant moments in Jewish history. It's known as an agricultural festival, but before that, it had historical significance linked back to the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. You can read that story in Exodus 19 and 20 more fully. In that story, though, we see the power and the presence of God that echoes what happens in Acts chapter 2. Let me give you a couple of verses from Exodus. Exodus 19, verse 18 reads this: Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. And then a couple of verses from Exodus 20. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Before Pentecost was an agricultural festival. It was a time when God's law was given to the people. It was a moment of the presence and power. It was a moment of holy fear. There was wind and fire and smoke. Only Moses could approach the presence of God. In our Pentecost story, everything changes. People experience the Spirit's equipping from an anointing from time to time in the Jewish story. Even the disciples have known the Spirit who, as the one who was with them. However, from now on, from here on in, the Spirit was to be with or in the disciples permanently, indwelling their lives, remaining with them so that they could become the dwelling places of God. It reminds us of those wonderful verses from Ephesians 5 where it says, "And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit." There's something wonderfully Trinitarian at the heart of this story. The Son ascends to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and sends his Spirit so the inauguration of cosmic restoration can begin with the first followers of Christ and then subsequently continue with every Christian since. I don't know if you see the link. Do you see the link between the Israelites and the followers of Jesus? When the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses heads up the mountain and then came down with the law about how this people will live out God's purposes. Here, Jesus has gone up into heaven, he has ascended, and now he is coming down again in his Spirit, not with a written law carved on tablets of stone, but with the dynamic energy and presence of God and of the law designed to be written on human hearts. Christ's work now completed, he must die, rise and ascend, the completion of earthly ministry, the way is open to the Father, and now the life of God may be poured out upon all in the Holy Spirit. The reconciling work of Christ is accomplished, and the Spirit who has been promised, who is fully and totally God, may be given. So the day that the Holy Spirit arrived in power forever changed what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Forever changed what it means to understand how you and me are to relate to God. The Holy Spirit is the extended presence of the Father and the Son going out from God's own self to be with and among God's own people. Jesus, who was limited by time and space, is now no longer limited and so can promise to be with us always to the very end of the age, kind of fulfilling that prophetic word in Matthew 28 verse 20. In our reading today, these 120 folks were all together and they have a Mount Sinai experience. This time, people don't have to stay away from God. This time, God comes upon them and not a mountain. It would have been an awesome experience. There was noise and rushing, violent wind filling the entire house. There was noise and pressure and presence and fire came upon them all. This is the wild and untamable presence of God washing over this house and washing over this people. God before them, alongside them, and now most importantly forever in them. Who is in control here? The director is the one who directs. Is it them or is it God? It is God. They start speaking in other languages, and what are they saying? Verse 11 tells us, those listening say this, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. They are telling the story of God and who God is and what God has done and what God is going to do in and through Jesus. Jesus has promised that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this was the moment. This is when it happened. Every follower of Jesus is a person who is meant to be baptized in the Spirit, a person in whom new life and new power is sourced by the Spirit. Full of God's living and dynamic and moving presence. This isn't about us being in control. Let me say it again. God deserves the right to disrupt our lives. When filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it is so that we can become witnesses to who Jesus is as fully God. How Jesus' kingdom is coming and what it means for people as they experience the lordship and the saving grace of Jesus in their lives. At Pentecost, 120 disrupted and power-filled lives head into the busy street of the Pentecost Agricultural Festival and declare in a multitude of languages the new law that gets written into hearts and minds by God's own self. That is still happening today. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news that what happened then is still happening today, that God is still writing into hearts and minds, into our lives, the good news, the new covenant, the new law through Jesus. Jesus has promised the presence of God, and so people powerfully are filled with the presence of God to this day. Stories change. Do you know when we get filled by the presence of God, our stories change, our lives change when we believe in Jesus and who he is. Our ambitions change, our focuses can change, the plans change, if you like. Heck, our churches can change, our communities can change when we get to be indwelt by the power of God because we believe in Jesus as Lord. In the Pentecost experience, language is really important. What people hear are the deeds of God in their own language. People from all nations hearing the deeds of God in words that they can understand. Sometimes God gives us a language that is supernatural too. We get to get that. That Pentecost experience is a unique example of how the Spirit works in tongues. Most of the time, our gifts of tongues is about worship and prophecy and edification. But sometimes, even to this day, like in Acts chapter 2, God still uses people to speak in words that folks from other language backgrounds can hear. I want to tell a story as I finish. It's a great story. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine told me something that had just recently happened. He told a story about his mate, Scott. And Scott is part of Revelation Church in Chichester. And they had recently housed two Syrian refugee families. And Scott was talking to one of the Syrian refugee fathers, one of the dads. And he was talking to this guy about Revelation Church and what it was about and what was going on. And the conversation turned to speaking in tongues. And the Syrian father asked Scott to give him a demonstration of talking in tongues. Scott, like, and I would have done this as well, tried to back out of it, get out of it by saying, well, you know, the context isn't right, stuff like that, you know how it is. But a Syrian father insisted he wanted to hear tongues. And so after some persuasion, Scott did his thing. He didn't do it for very long and then said, there you go, that's speaking in tongues. After a short pause, the Syrian father said, that wasn't tongues. The Syrian father said that Scott had just spoken to him in Arabic, telling him that he was loved by God and not to be afraid because he was in a safe place. You know, the Holy Spirit is still here. I asked that with a kind of question mark. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is still here, living and moving in each of us who choose to follow Jesus? When the Spirit comes into waiting and expectant hearts, then presume that your lives and your church might be disrupted by the disruptive God. The director is the one who directs. When the Holy Spirit comes, we don't lose ourselves. We don't suddenly become different people. We're still us. Actually, we begin to find our true selves. We begin to become the exceptional people that God desires for us to be and wills us to become. The Pentecost experience is a dramatic inauguration of the Spirit of God's ministry in our world. But I want to tell you today that story that happened 2,000 years ago that we read about in Acts 2, that story is continuing in you and in me. If you've had an experience of the power and the presence of God disrupting your life, it isn't over. There is no status quo in the kingdom of God. Until Christ comes again, we can't say to ourselves, right, let's just sit back and relax. We don't need to go any further. We've got everything as it should be. That will never happen until Christ comes again and restores all things. In Ephesians 5, it tells us, be filled again and again with the Spirit. And in that filling, allow God to lead us into a purpose and a plan that allows others to experience the risen Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon them so that they could be witnesses to Christ in all the world. The Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we might build up the church, so that we might live lives that follow Jesus, and so that others might experience the presence of Jesus in their lives too. That's all I've got to say on the matter. So I shall stop speaking. But what I will do is I will pray. And I think it's all right. I'm going to pray that we might experience a fresh filling of God's presence in our lives. That we might, each and every one of us here today, have a fresh sense of the Holy Spirit indwelling our lives. And perhaps a fresh sense of the power of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we might also be witnesses to the risen Lord Jesus. So that's what I'm going to pray, just to pre-warn you, if that's all right.